Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
For those of you who were listening this morning, either here or elsewhere, you know that I said that there's two questions that I've been asked a lot since I got back. And the first question was, what did you enjoy the most? And I shared a couple of stories. Well, I'm going to share a couple of different stories of things that we've enjoyed. One of the highlights of our trip was going to Kuala Lumpur. I've always wanted to see the Twin Towers ever since I saw a particular film, which is called Entrapment. If you've never seen Entrapment, it's a great film. And I want to see this. So we actually went to see the Twin Towers, which is really, really cool. But that's not the cool bit. So we went there. I preached for Hope City Kuala Lumpur on a Sunday. And then on the Monday night, we went out for a meal, which somebody had arranged for us at the top of the Kuala Lumpur Tower. And it's the highest tower in Kuala Lumpur. It's built on a hill. And there's a restaurant at the top that spins round slowly. It's called the 360 restaurant, surprisingly enough. And it's just, if you ever get a chance to go to Kuala Lumpur and you're feeling a little bit flush, then I would recommend you go and book in. Because our special friend had booked it for us, we got VIP seats, so it's very nice. And it was a fluke because we asked the waiter, but as the sun was going down, our kind of window slot was right in the right place to watch the sun going down as we ate our meal. We were there for about 2 hours, and it's incredible. It's one of the fondest memories that we'll have from that particular part of our trip. And another one of my memories is this. Is 12 months ago, I went to Brazil with some of you guys, and we went for, if you remember, guys, a walk in the Brazilian Atlantic rainforest, right? Yep. Oh, that's right, you fell over and almost died. Yeah, no, you'll never forget that. That's true. You have to go and talk to Claire about her experience. Anyway, one of the things that some of the team did was they went swimming in a river that we walked down, and I was too whatever to do it. So this year we went to a different river, but I went swimming in one of the Amazonian rivers, and it has to be one of the coolest things I've ever. It was quite cool actually, Dave, wasn't it? It was quite good. Though Dave was hilarious. So I was already swimming, and Dave was kind of on some rocks here with the water there, and he kind of got changed-ish. And then he started down into the water. Now he didn't know, but the rocks were slippy. So he kind of started down, and his plan was to kind of go in slowly. But actually what happened was he went in and he started slipping, and he slipped in, and he's kind of all. He was very funny. It was very funny. Anyway, a couple of great, great memories. And we have lots of others, and we'd love to chat to you about them. The other question that we've got asked quite a lot already is, well, what have you brought back? What have you learnt? And I have 7 pages of notes, of which I'm not going to share all of them tonight, otherwise you'll be here a long time. And the first one I've kind of half shared already. This... that we are so thankful that we get to do life with all of you. And we've come back, I think, with a greater appreciation of all of you and of how far we've come as a church. For those of you who were here over 11 years ago, and those of you who've joined us on the journey, we've come back and realized that God has moved us a long way already. Now, there's a way to go, but our ability to serve Jesus, to serve each other and serve the world, has expanded massively since we first began. And of that is an awesome thought. You know, when there was 30-odd of us, we believed we could reach hundreds, maybe 1,000. And now there's 300 of us. What could God do with us as a congregation, as a people? And I'm so excited. And there is some things to do and to change for sure, but we've made such great progress, and I've come back really excited about what God's going to do, and I'll share about that in a bit more. And then the second thing that God has reminded me or refreshed my understanding, or heighten my desire, maybe, is that we exist, I exist, to help people find Jesus. And that is why we're here, to see lives change and transformed, to see eternal destinies be, as Jason was saying, as we invest in people so that their eternities can change. And as the power of God and just the presence of God in people's lives, to see them change, that's why we're here. It's why we're doing what we're doing. And nothing is more important than that. And the fact that when your friend or my friend comes to church, as somebody said, the kind of the door of church on a Sunday, when a new person comes to church on a Sunday, to make sure that this place is so well prepared and so open and so loving and a place where people can encounter God is the thing. Because you have to realize almost everybody who makes a decision in a church service. Not quite, some people make it out, but almost everybody. Therefore, this is super important to us. It's not that other things aren't important. Oh, please don't hear that. There's lots of other things really important, for sure. But the super importance of here and what goes on Sunday. Why? Because we're trying to help people find Jesus. And people tend to find Jesus in church, in a service. And the real importance of that. Which means that there's a huge importance of helping each other to be able to invite people on Sundays. Now, I've got some thinking to do that, and my prayer is that you'll go home tonight and you'll do some thinking in your life about how we all get better and how we can help each other invite people on a Sunday so we can grow. You know, one of the reasons we built the coffee shop, right, was so we could have two services, one back to back. That was one of the reasons. Why? So we can have twice as many people worshiping Jesus and discovering who he is. There's other reasons for doing it, but that was definitely one of the big ones why we did it. And it's great to have this place full, and I kind of... I'm so excited when we had Heart for the House and we do the things that we planned and got in our heads and hopefully what God's going to do through it all. And what I did this morning was speak a little bit into that with some thoughts. And if you missed it, then I'm sure it'll be on the webpage tomorrow. And what I want to do now is just give you some more thoughts. And I want to do it by telling you a story because I like stories. But a different story from this morning, in case you're wondering. And so I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, one of my most favorite stories. You see, Acts chapter 2 is one of those stories that I wish I'd been there. I don't know whether you've ever read Acts chapter 2 and thought, oh, it would have been so cool to be there when everything that went on happened in that moment. You see, in Acts chapter 2, we read when Jesus' promised Holy Spirit actually comes onto the first disciples that have been waiting for this arrival of Pentecost, the kind of God coming down that Jesus had promised them. And it goes like this in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together, all the disciples were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It was like amazing. They were all sat there and suddenly a wind blew through the house. And, you know, I bet they all went, what in the heck is going on? Because we would, right? If you were sat in a house and it got windy, you'd be slightly freaked out. Yeah? Or perhaps you wouldn't. Perhaps you go, no, it's quite normal in my house. There's always a draft in my house. But you know, normally, suddenly this wind, and they're like, what's going on? And then they look around, and there's flames of fire sitting on each. Obviously, you couldn't see your own, right? But you can see it'd be freaky, right? If you think about it, you probably wouldn't go, it's God. You wouldn't do that, would you? You go like, that's weird. Because you would. I would. You would. You go, that's weird. What's going on? Because Acts is kind of written in hindsight. But wouldn't it have been amazing? And then suddenly, people started speaking strange languages, which is weird. You know, if somebody starts speaking a foreign language in your face, you just go, that's weird because I can't understand you. So this whole thing, it's weird. It's supernatural, it's outside comfort zones, it's challenging, it's... But wouldn't it be cool to be there? Maybe just as an observer, maybe? For some of you, going like, yeah, I'd like to be there as long as I could watch. So it sounds a bit freaky. I'm not sure I'd want a piece of flame on my head because who knows what's going on. But wouldn't it be amazing? I would have loved to be there. And then something incredible happened afterwards. This had all happened. It says that there's a whole crowd came running around because they heard the noise of the wind and they heard the noise of the tongues, these different languages. And then the Bible says that Peter stood up in front of the crowd. And for those of you who've been a while, you know what I think about this passage is, I can imagine the disciples were all in a crowd and either one of two things happened. So I'm thinking about the 12. The 12 disciples were there, they're all together. Either 11 of them stepped back and left Peter. And Peter kind of looked around and went, what have you done? Or they're all stood there and they push Peter to the front. Your job, Peter, you're the loud mouth. You go for it, right? Because he was. And I imagine somebody whispered, Jesus said, Peter, on you, the rock, I'll build my church. This is your moment. Go and have a go. Or perhaps he offered, who knows. But either way, he gave an unprepared message. Now, some of the team that went to Brazil prepared their messages and they were still a little bit scared. And if you ever get a chance to do what I'm doing now, you'll probably be a little bit nervous. Peter, with thousands of people in front of him, gave his very first message about Jesus with no preparation at all. I hate to say this, guys, he must have been really quite scared. And he was only probably in his early 20s. He wasn't even old. He was really young. Perhaps the youth helped, right? He thought, it'd be fine, because I'm brilliant. Because I'm young. But either way, he gave this. And the Bible says that when he'd finished, I just want to read this to you because it's incredible. Verse 37. When the people heard whatever Peter had said, they were cut to the heart because God moved through him and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive what we've just received. God's power will come on you. His presence will be with you. And then he says, this promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off. That's us. And for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves in this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message and were baptized. So these are the baptized believers. Not the people who stuck their hands up. The baptized believers numbered about 3,000. And wouldn't it have been amazing to be there, to experience that? Wow. 3,000 people saved. First message. I bet you Pete was chuffed to bits. I bet you went away from there and went, I'm awesome. Sorry, God, you're awesome working through me. But he must have been stoked. The disciples must have been amazed. 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus. One message. Must have gone with so much hope and so much belief in what God was going to do through them. And so many of us read that passage and go like, you know, I would love to be there and see it. I've said that. But what we really mean is this. You know, I wish I could be there to see it because I don't think it'll ever happen to us. That's what they really mean. They read it and go, that's incredible. That was a real God thing. I'd love to be there because I don't think I'll ever see. And I want to say tonight, with the few minutes I have, is why not? Why not? Who were these disciples? Were they superhuman beings or something? There's something extraordinary about them, so much so that we couldn't match their extraordinariness. And the answer is no. They were fishermen and tax collectors and Levites and things like that. Teachers, NHS workers, body car parts sellers, radio seller people, accountants, ordinary people, farmers. He just said, I'll follow Jesus. I'll just open my life up to him. And God said, that's all I need. My power will come on you. You might have to wait a little bit for the moment, but it's coming. And then watch what I do through you. See, the disciples did it not believing they could do it. They believed in Jesus who could do it through them. And it's just the same for us today. And Dave's right. I no longer think that we need to hope and pray that God can do something amazing through us. I believe we can faith go forward knowing that God wants to do something through us like this. It says in 1 Peter, somewhere in my notes, 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 9, Peter says, and Peter knew, he says, God would long that nobody would be lost. Nobody go to a lost eternity. He longs that every single person would find him. And Peter says, that's why the world hasn't finished yet. It's why he tarries. It's why he waits. Why? Because he longs for more people to find him. And you see, I think, church, that we need to begin to believe that what was in Acts is not a story to look at with like wonder and wow. It's a story to begin to say, God, I'm not just going to say wow. I'm going to say, God, I'm believing that you can do the same thing today through us. I know we're ordinary, but your power and your spirit is just the same. Just the same. This is one thing about talking about it, but there's another thing about experiencing it. And one of the things that we've done over the last few weeks is we've been in churches where there has been thousands of people saved. And the church grows over 1,000 every year. And that's normal. It's not even extraordinary. That's just what happens every year. They grow by 1,000 or 2 every single year. In this century, in this day. God's the same in Australia or America or anywhere else. As he is here today. And guys, we need to begin to believe that God can do extraordinary things through us. Not because we necessarily feel extraordinary, but because he's an extraordinary God. And in 5 minutes, no, actually, I'll do some more next week, but I want to tell you a few things I think this story tells us that will help us to begin to live with that belief in our hearts. The first one is this. Acts 2:4 says all of them were filled. All of them were filled. All of them gave permission for God to come and do what he wanted to do in their lives. All of them. Without exception. Both individually, they allowed God to speak to them, to change them, and to direct them. And together they said, we will accept everything that God has for us to speak and to act, to convict and to do. God, whatever you want to do in my life, they said, that's okay. And all of us can do that. It's easy. You know what? It goes like this. When you get up in the morning, you go, God, I'm in. That's it. Yeah. Who can do that? Yeah. That's show hands. Can he say to God in the morning, I'm in? Yeah. That's all he wants. He doesn't want anything else. If you want, you can spend 10 minutes or an hour praying as well. That's great. It's cool. And it'll do you a power of good. But all he really wants is, I'm in. Today's yours, God. I'm just in. I'm just in. It's so simple. I think sometimes, it's a big deal. It's so complicated. It's not. God, I'm in. Just direct me. Speak to me. I'm just in. I'll talk to people. I'll pray for somebody. I won't say something. I won't get cross when I should get cross. I won't get irritated when it's justified or not. You know, I'm just in. I'm just in for you to do whatever you want, for your power to work in through my life. I'm just in. And then we just carry on like that all day. Carry on like that all day. I think that's all the early disciples did. I don't think they had a master plan. I like my master plans, I have to admit, but I don't think they had a master plan. I think they just said every day, God, we're in. God, we're in. You see, all of you have different lives and different worlds, and each one of you can reach people that I can't reach and perhaps nobody else can reach. It could be a Rob who's in the aerospace industry, and he has a group of people that nobody else can reach. It could be Sarah who's doing lots of stuff, including being a mum and dropping people off and a whole group of friends that she has that I don't know who they are, but she does. And she just gets up every morning and says, God, I'm in. I'm going to meet these people. I'm in. I'll say whatever you want me to say. If each one of us do that, oh, God will work and use you. You'll get chances to speak hope and faith and love into their lives. And more than that, you'll get a chance to share something of your story. See, God, the Bible says in John that God go, the Holy Spirit goes before us to convict and open people's hearts and lives to those people who say they're in. And God will do that in your world. I'm utterly convinced of it. Why? Because God loves those people more than you do. God wants them to be part of his kingdom more than you do. If we're in, he will open the door to their hearts. And so many broken and hurting people need us to do that. The second thing I want to say is this. It says in Acts 22, verse 44, that they did things together. Did things together. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and they sold their possessions and they gave to anyone in need. But every day they continued to, they just did things together. And God added daily. I think we need to open up, each one of us needs to open up our hearts more and more. For each other, but for new people. It was really exciting this morning, to be honest. I did my talk and everything, as you do when you're the pastor, right? Then you get down and some people come talk to you, which is great. And then I've actually gone to a coffee shop and met some new people who I didn't know. And I started talking to them and getting to know them and that kind of thing. And I've come back with a determination. I don't have time to be everybody's best mate, right? I'm sorry. I wish I did, but I don't. And you don't have time to be everybody's best mate. But I have time to be a friend for every single person. I can have thousands of friends and do life together and chat together. And as we meet each other, just support them and love them and believe in them. And I think the early disciples, they added 3,000 people in the first. I mean, I don't know how many disciples there was, but that was probably quite a number each to look after. You know, I don't know what there is in here, 120 or something. Imagine if God dropped 3,000 new Christians on us. Have you got room in your heart to at least help some of them? To open up your heart to love them and believe in them and try and help them to connect with God. See, God's just looking for people that have an open heart to drop new people in. One more friend, two more friends, another friend. That together we may walk together and discover who God is. They were all together being friends. It's real simple, isn't it? God, I'm in. God, help me to be a bit more friendly. It's simple. And that's all God wants. And that's what the early Christians did. Nobody was left on their own. They noticed when people had need. They created space for new people. I suspect they hung around long enough to make sure that nobody was lonely and everybody was connected with. They were just inclusive. As my wife is famous as saying, they created a home for everybody who walked through the door and said, I want to follow Jesus. But they did it quite simply by opening their hearts and saying, my heart's open for one more friend. One more friend's welcome in my group. Another friend's welcome. Another friend's welcome. We've discovered over the years as we've been doing it that we now have friends all the way around the world. My kids joke sometimes that if they wanted, they could get a plane and travel all the way around the world and never stay in a hotel. And we've not done it on purpose. It's kind of cool right now. You look back, oh, that's cool. But we just had room for one more friend. The bishop said, would you like to go to Brazil and make a friend? We said, it sounds crazy, but okay. In a few weeks, just after Christmas, the bishop's asked us to go to Chile and make another friend. And so me and Dave are off to go make another friend. We've got friends in Australia and friends in America. If you would open up your heart to one more friend, your life gets bigger, gets more exciting. And your worldview, your world, everything just gets more blessed by just having one more friend. And let's just be so, so inclusive. I'll just do one more and then I'll do the rest another time. I like this one. Acts 2, verse 44, it says this. Sorry, Acts 2:42 says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles and to the breaking of bread and to the fellowship. Fellowship means to each other. They devoted themselves. They loved each other and helped each other. They stood together. They didn't separate off. They believed in each other. But this is the key thing, right? If you remember what Jesus said in John, I think it's chapter 14, he said, I pray that they may love each other and therefore the world may know and see our love because they love each other. And this is the thing, as you devote yourself to each other, the world looks on and your devotion spills out to include other people who are not yet part of the family. And I finished with this because I was talking about it this morning as well. And I actually think this is, for some of you, the biggest key to unlocking the potential you have in Christ is that you will be devoted to those Christians in your world, that you would love them, care for them, watch out for their needs and fulfill those needs when they're there, be it meals or finance or whatever it is, or just time. But you would be devoted to helping the people that you know become the most amazing Christian that you can be. And this is what will happen. And I said it this morning, but this is what will happen. As you do that, that attitude, that train of thought will just spill out at work. Spill out when you're at the gym. It will just spill out. And people go, what? Because it's be not about you, it'll be about others. And it'll spill out. And people go like, why have you done that? And you go, oh, I don't know. I just do it at church. And they go, well, why do you do it? And you say, I don't, it's what I believe. I'm here to help other people. I'm here to encourage them and build them up and get the most out of every other person's life. I've discovered, you'll say to them, that as I try and help others, actually my life is so much better. And as I become more selfish, my life gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's why they devoted themselves. And I actually think their devotion to one another was one of the reasons why their numbers grew every day. Because their devotion spilled out. And people went, I want to be part of that. Because the love of God shone through them. This church, I could say some other things as well, but I think that's enough. And Acts 2 is an incredible story. But it's not supposed to be an historical story. It's supposed to be a story to inspire us to do the same thing. And as I come back, as it were, have a fresh passion for seeing people saved, for expanding the kingdom of God for the glory of Jesus. Do you know my heart longs to? Do you know, to be honest, even 3,000 is a bit big, right, for the start off with? Because, you know, I'm really struggling to believe we're going to have 3,000 people saved at the same time, mainly because there's not 3,000 people here. But I am believing for tens of people to get saved at the weekends. I mean, it's great having two or three. And those of you who made decisions the last few months, wow, I'm so excited for you and all that God has for you. But wouldn't it be cool if there's 10 or 12? And then maybe one weekend we'd have 50. And maybe in a few years, something will happen. And one day somebody will stand up and just say, hey, I just want to let you know, especially you guys have been around here long, that we had 1,000 people saved this weekend. There, we believe that God could do what he did in Acts amongst us. Not again, he's been doing it throughout all of history and still does it today in certain churches. So let's not say again, because it's going on now. I know some of our friends in Hillsong Church, by the time they've collated all the Hillsong Church, there'll be more than 1,000 people saved this weekend. It's happening now in our time. Why not with us? Like I say, I'm not sure I can believe 1,000 for next week, but I can believe for 12 next week among our services. Let's begin to believe and pray with every morning, God, I'm in. God, help me to be a bit more friendly and have one more person in my life. And with help me to be devoted, and that devotion to spill out into the world.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.